You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall with you for the final major championship of the golf betting season. The US PGA Championship at Baltusrol is this week's big event. First of all, a warm welcome, Mr. Grenham.
Hi, Dave.
And Mr. Tindall.
Hello.
And William Hill again, betting 50 odds first seven for the season's final major championship. Dustin Johnson is the 8-1 favourite for the USPGA. Rory McIlroy 9-1. Jason Day is 10-1. Jordan Spieth 14-1. Henrik Stenson 16s. Phil Mickelson 22. Sergio Garcia 25s. And it is 33-1 and bigger the rest, barring those front seven in the betting. And Mike, here we are just 2 weeks after previewing the Open Championship, the final major of the golfing season, just a couple of days away. And there's been a lot of talk in recent days about the scheduling conflict with the Olympics in Rio starting shortly, and whether the shifting of this major championship is the correct move, really, Mike.
Well, I don't know if it matters that much, Dave. It is what it is, and you know, that's what the players have got to face, and it's a major to be won. And the Olympics is obviously a great event as well, albeit not a lot of the top players are going to it. But let's see who's the best. Once they start, they'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. And does the proximity of this major championship, Dave, the USPGA, to the Open change your betting strategy or not?
Well, I did look, and it has been a major for the 20-somethings, this one. I think five of the last six have been in the 20s, whereas the Open, it's gone for the more experienced heads. And maybe that's not just coincidence. Maybe it's because, you know, get this fast, thick run of majors, and maybe the younger guys have got a bit more in the tank, maybe, and that could be exaggerated even more with it being closer. So that's a theory, possibly.
And let's start with the golf course. The lower course at Baltusrol, 20 miles west of New York City in Springfield, New Jersey. It is a course that is steeped in history. Phil Mickelson won the last major championship staged at the venue back in 2005 with a total of 4 under par. But this course has also hosted 7 US Opens, and Jack Nicklaus won US Opens at Baltusrol in 1967 and 1980. The course itself, a par 70 measuring 7,428 yards, concludes with a couple of par 5s, and the penultimate hole is a monster. It can play 649 yards from the tips, and Mickelson has said that scoring opportunities, there are some of them on the golf course, but not many early. If you can get through the first 6 or 7 holes at level par, that looks like it could be a decent foundation from which to build a reasonable score on this in this venue, Dave.
Yeah, maybe opposite then to Royal Troon, where you had to make your score early. Yep. So that's what I'll be looking for with my guys, just steady start and then maybe take flight further on in the round.
Is there anything you're looking for from a statistical point of view, Mike?
In terms of types of players?
Yeah, player attributes.
I think a bit more accuracy than at some events. I think you have to. It's a very low score, that 4 under 1, should I say, last time out. So I'd be looking for someone who can hit the fairways, but probably has a little bit of length as well. I think if you're too short on a course like this, you've really, really got to play very well with your irons and wedges. So I wouldn't rule out a Jim Furyk or someone of that kind of ilk, but slightly favour a little bit of length, that mix of length and accuracy. I think that could be important here.
And the course designer, A.W. Tillinghast, is responsible for a few different courses that have been used in major competition over the last couple of decades. If you are looking for that angle in, he designed Bethpage Black, which hosted the US Open in 2002 and 2009, Winged Foot, which hosted in 2006, and if you're looking for some form on the PGA Tour, Ridgewood is a Tillinghast design as well. That hosted the Barclays in 08, 2010 and 2014. And Mickelson's got an incredible record on these types of courses.
And you read through the quotes, he's always banging on about how he loves Tillinghast courses. So there are some players who do pop up, you know, several times when you go through the figures. But it's not an absolute prerequisite, because I mean, you're only going off about five bits of data, but it's a little help, isn't it, maybe, if it helps you decide between someone and the other.
Do you agree with Mike in terms of accuracy from the tee might be important, or more important than it sometimes is at a US major?
Well, I very much agree with Mike in the fact that Mike says if you hit it straight and a bit of length as well. So I did look at total driving as one of my key stats.
Yeah, I looked at that, yeah. It's not the most sophisticated stat, is it? Because it's a bit of
it can be lopsided.
Yeah, it can.
One of the guys I've picked is kind of high up in both, so that's... Because sometimes you get it skewed, don't you? It's brilliantly accurate, but quite short, but it...
Yeah.
You know, you're just adding the two numbers up, aren't you, basically? But yeah, I think total driving could be a good one.
Or strokes off the tee, strokes gained off the tee. They're both of interest, I think.
How many picks have you got, Mike?
Three.
Dave Tindall?
Two.
I've got two as well, and some a couple in the supporting markets also.
Oh, you aren't even look at the supporting markets.
Yeah, I've actually just got one in the supporting market. I know Dave's got a couple as well.
We can chat about that, can we? Well, I'm going to go first. Yes. I got three.
Yep.
Justin Rose is my first pick. Had a little bit of an injury earlier this year, so his form figures don't look sensational in the last couple of months, following on from a time when he was in decent form. He was third in the world's Fargo, but then missed the cut in the US Open, was injured, played reasonably at Bridgestone, and a little bit better in the Open. I'm not convinced he's a links player, so I think that early, very good finish he had in an Open is slightly flattering to him. So a very solid player. All the stats we've just talked about, strokes gained off the tee is fifth, strokes gained tee to green is fourth, 22nd ball striking, 22nd greens in regulation, 10th on the strokes gained total stats, which is quite an important one. Really, really solid player. Will be a little bit more alive and rested than some of them, given that he's had that break, enforced, not chosen, obviously. And has a decent record in the PGA as well, with some good recent finishes in that event. Won a major in the East Coast of America as well. I think at 33-1, and I'm hoping that he may even drift out to 40s tomorrow on Wednesday morning, which often happens with William Hill compilers will push players out. I think he could be one that might well go out to something like that. So I'm hoping to get a bit of that, but I'll be happy with the 33s. I think Justin Rose is... he's got a very good chance this week. Hits the ball a long way. If he can keep it on the fairways, he'll be in a good place.
Yeah, I think that form at Merion might stand out as well when you're looking at golf courses of a similar ilk.
Exactly.
The way you've got to drive the ball at Merion, it might be a similar case at Baltusrol this week. So Justin Rose, 33-1, Mike. Headline selection, would he be your...
Headline selection. Yeah. I fancy them all about the same, but he'd be my headline, I think, yeah.
Dave Tindall.
Yeah, we have had a lot of majors go to the big guns, haven't we, in the last couple of seasons. And I think it's Rory's turn this week. Rory McIlroy, 9-1, second favourite.
Not Rory Sabatino.
Yeah, just to stress, I didn't. He is my favourite of the Rorys, Rory McIlroy. I mean, he's been brilliant, hasn't he, in this event. Won in 2012 and 2014. Had a couple of third places as well before that. So basically, it's his best major. You kind of, if you'd been thinking what it might be as he started his pro career, you think, oh, Augusta's made for him. He's never had a top three at Augusta. Had four of them in this event with two wins. So for whatever reason, this is his favourite or his most productive major. So I think he's just starting to come to the boil just at the right time. If he doesn't win this week, that'll be 2 years without a major. And I don't think that's not Rory, is it? He's not going to settle for that. So I think he's got a lot of incentive to get it done. I like the way he played in the Open. He was on the wrong side of the draw. Perhaps a younger, more inexperienced Rory might have thrown the towel in there and just, you know, not given up, but drifted away. But he battled on to finish fifth. So I was impressed by that. Seventh in total driving, which is good. He admits, he actually said that in this major, if you drive it well, that's, you know, a big reason for success, and he thinks he's driving the ball great at the minute, and the stats back it up as well.
He usually does, to be fair, doesn't he?
Yeah, so I think as long as he can just hold his share of putts, we're not going to see mine as silly, are we?
I think we can reveal, Dave, that neither, I don't think you're picking Rory McIlroy.
No, I'm
Dave
not.
Dave K. But we talked about him because he's the one at the front of the market that both
like
of us
well.
Like a lot.
Yeah.
I tend to be... bigger price for player I don't want to win, but he was ever so close for me.
Right.
I get everything you say. He's got a massive chance this week.
I think so.
And again, he's another one that might get pushed out on Wednesday morning, and if he does, I might have to have a save him myself.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of form. In Bethpage, he was tied 10th as a real sort of young man in 2009. So I think he can get it done this week.
Yeah, I do as well. Yeah, I think if he was putting better, he'd be an outstanding bet this week, wouldn't he? I think a 9-1. And I do take into account everything you're saying about his game at the moment. It's just if he can. He sometimes gets frustrated, doesn't he? Mm. And we saw that at the Open Championship. If he can keep control of his emotions
and his clubs,
I think 9-1. Yeah, he's the one at the top of the betting. I think if I was having a bet up there, he'd be the man, McIlroy.
And
this week.
He can wear a t-shirt rather than a bulletproof jacket that he was wearing.
Yep. No, I'd be with myself.
I'm going for a triple figure price as my first bet here. Kevin Chappell at 100-1, getting the 7 places, which definitely helps with this bet because, as most golf enthusiasts know, Chappell hasn't won on the PGA Tour yet, which is a major negative. There's enough form in his recent profile to suggest that he'll enjoy this test, though he's gone close in a couple of big events this season with runner-up finishes at the Arnold Palmer and at the Players standing out. And I think this is going to be more of a US Open-style test than a traditional USPGA setup, which I think will suit Chappell because he was tied third behind McIlroy in the US Open in 2011 and tied for 10th at the US Open in 2012. And his performance at Firestone was good as well. You look at Firestone as a tough par 70. Chappell does like those difficult golf courses. He finished tied third there in the Bridgestone, and that's often been a decent indicator to success at the USPGA. And he's got a little bit of championship form in the book as well, having finished tied for 13th at Valhalla. He ranks 10th in strokes gained tee to green, Chappell, 27th in that total driving stat, and I think those statistics do stand him in good stead. He's out late on Thursday, so I'll hope for a decent opening round. I think it will be a benefit to tee off early on the Thursday because this golf course is going to get firmer and faster as the week progresses, so maybe those guys out early on Thursday might get the best of the conditions, but I like Kevin Chappell at 100-1 as my one of
plus
my two bets.
It's a little bit difficult to call that weather thing, dude, because there's thunderstorms around on Friday, and the weather forecasts I've looked through are a little bit hard to read at the moment. So you could be right, but
I was the same because I saw Saturday and Sunday thunderstorms likely on Saturday and Sunday, but it appeared to be pretty dry on Thursday and Friday from what I saw. But I think the way the golf course is going to be set up, if you're going to have a chance to get at it, it's probably going to be on that, you know, that Thursday morning.
Yeah. You could well be right. Yeah, it's in, you know, the draw. I don't think the draw plays as much of a factor in this event as it does in the Open.
No, we saw in the Open,
it was as we discussed on the podcast, it was a massive factor. It's just hard to predict at the Open. The weather forecasts aren't quite as reliable as they are in a big land mass like America. So by Wednesday and Thursday, we'll have a good idea what the weather's going to do for Thursday, Friday, I think.
And I don't think the wind's going to be much of a factor
doesn't
throughout the week
way, does
here, does it?
No,
it looks like you're getting 5-6 mile an hour winds, but it should be. It's not going to be the wind that's a problem this week.
No, hopefully it won't be the problem for Jason Duffner, who I've batted a few times this year, and I'm going to give him another shot. I was hoping he was 100-1. I think he was 100-1, but he's been clipped into 80s, which is a bit of a pain. But I'm going to stick with him anyways. Plays very well in the PGA and, of course, won a couple of years ago. Starts are ideal for this event. Ball striking is 8th. Greens in regulation is 8th. Good stats. So without reading them all out, good stats on tee to green and total driving and off the tee. And decent form. A 6th in Dean and DeLuca. An 8th in the US Open, very interestingly. I think that's very relevant form, and a solid 22nd in the Open over here. So again, a player who can win majors, who should be very well suited by a bit of accuracy off the tee, and if he can hole a few putts, which is always a little bit of an if with Jason, he could well. I think 7 places makes him a very appealing bet. To be fair, each way
80-1, Jason Duffner.
Yeah, I like him as well. It was. He drives it longer than you think nowadays. Yeah, it's at over 290, so he's quite high up. Well, relatively, he's in maybe the top third in driving distance.
Yeah.
Well, you just think of him as someone down the middle, but not too far. But yeah, I think he's got a big chance in this. When I look back at the 2005 results at Bolter's Roll, I think the top 10 had 5 players who had previously won the PGA. So
right.
So it's maybe a good course for tournament specialists.
Well, I hope that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Very
him,
good.
Anyway. Yep, yep.
And therefore, I'm going to pick Keegan Bradley as my second pick.
Right, okay.
I do like his price. I was kind of, shall I do Duffner or Bradley? But basically, Duffner's 80, Bradley's 125, so that helped me decide with that one. He's first in total driving, which we've discussed. That's ideal. Looks to be coming back to something like his best. Eighth at Memorial. He was 18th at the Open, third at halfway, ninth with a round to go. So he nearly had a really big week there, but just sort of ran out of gas, but not too bothered about that. And as with Duffner, a real tournament specialist. I mean, he won in 2011. He was tied third when he defended the following year. Top 20 again, 2013. He's changed coach, he's changed his caddy, and I think those effects have just given him a little boost in recent times. So I think he could be ready to throw in a challenge. So I'm going to back him at 125-1 in the outrights. Can I mention my first round?
Yeah, please do.
Talking about him. I also like him for first round leader. He's 100-1 in that market. He's out early, which I think we've decided is a good place to be, isn't it, on Thursday? Anyway.
I think so, definitely. Yeah, I think for that first round leader market, I'd want someone out early.
Yeah, so he ticks that box. He was fourth after round one at Troon, which is good. Earlier this season, he was led the way after day one at the Valspar. So he's been making some nice starts. And if I'm not absolutely convinced he can win, which I'm probably not, but obviously 125-1's got a lot of each way juice in it.
Yeah,
I am convinced he might just shoot 600 and win the round one leader market.
Yep.
Before things get a little tougher for him. So I'm going to split stakes then and back him in both of those, outright and first round leader.
Keegan Bradley, 125-1 in the outright, 100-1 to be first round leader of the USPGA Championship. Very good. I'm going to go for another triple figure price as my second bet here, and I'm going to take Gary Woodland at 100-1 as my second bet. Again, 50 odds for seven, so it's attractive. I think he probably hindered his own progression, Woodland, by leaving Butch Harmon. And I'm sure that's a decision he regrets. Things didn't really work out with Jim McLean. And he's returned to Harmon in late March this season. And his results have improved considerably since then. Had a few 20-odd place finishes. But things really started to click with his pair of 64s at the Byron Nelson. And he finished 12th in that tournament. Since then, he's finished tied fourth at Memorial, where he faltered on Sunday. And second at the Barracuda, followed by an eye-catching tie for 12th at the Open, which was his best ever Open Championship performance. He's shown a little bit of form on a Tillinghast design, having finished in a tie for 13th at Ridgewood back in 2014. And the positives in his stats are his ball striking. Strokes gained off the tee and approach to the green have improved immeasurably. And his wedge game is better than it's ever been before. That's often held Woodland back in his career, but he's getting better and better with the short clubs. The only doubt with him is his putting, isn't it, Woodland? Because he still looks mechanical on the greens, and those putting stats aren't fantastic. So that's the catch with Gary Woodland. He needs to have a good week on the greens, but if he does, I think 100-1's a fair price for a quality player.
Yeah, he's on my shortlist, Dave. He's on my outsiders list for sure. I can see him going well this week. If he's accurate off the tee, he hits it a long way, doesn't he? And he's not so bad. Harmon's improving him again.
Definitely.
He's on my radar for sure for the future, as people probably know, he's someone I like. But this week I don't like him as much as Ricky Fowler, who is a man that has never really done me any favours when I've batted him, so expect him to miss the cut. Yeah, that's a bit of a warning to everyone else. I just think this is an event that's tailor made for Fowler's skill set. He's 11th on the strokes gained off the tee. Starts 6 tee to green, 8 strokes gained total, 20 total driving. And I'm willing to forgive a little bit of moderate recent form to say that Ricky Fowler at 33-1 is a decent bet here. I know that he had a little run there where he missed the cut in the TPC, the Memorial and the US Open. But it's just started to show a little bit more in recent events. Played very nicely in the Bridgestone at Firestone, which is an event that's quite comparable to this course, I think. So I like Firestone form here. In fact, Scott Piercy, who plays well there, he was an outsider that was ever so close to making my picks. But Ricky Fowler, 44th in the Quicken Loans, at least he made the cut there. 10th then in that WGC event at the Bridgestone. And a reasonable 46. Again, he was on the wrong side of the draw. 76 in round three, completely snookered him. But I do think that that Fowler, who has been 19th, 3rd and 30th in the PGA in the last 3 years, solid kind of form. He just ticks the kind of right criteria for someone who could have his breakthrough here at Altusrol this week. So I'm hoping that for once Ricky Fowler plays well when I back him.
But we've had five.
I'll even wear orange on Sunday afternoon.
We've had five first-time major champions in the last five majors, haven't we? So Fowler would be, if you're looking at one that's going to knock that door down again, he's one, isn't he?
He is, and I just think he's slightly out of the limelight at the moment, which might suit him because he's forever being over. Promoted, isn't he? And people talking about him a bit too much, maybe a bit too much pressure. So I'm just hoping that he can come in, to quote a podcast cliche, under the radar, yeah. And maybe this is the time that he has his breakthrough. Come on, Ricky, do it for me.
Yeah, when Rory won in 2012, his form in the majors that year was terrible, really bad. So maybe, you know, Fowler's got something up his sleeve.
Yeah, like, but he's got decent McElroy enough finishes in majors, hasn't he? Not necessarily this year, but. Yeah, he's good enough, and you know, he's not a player that I tip very often, but I just load myself in, despite miscuts in the Masters and the US Open, to give him a blast this time round.
I can imagine if he's out of contention by Saturday, you'll never back him again.
There is the big risk of that,
like you and Adam Scott.
Yes,
and he's he's shorter than the outsiders. I'm going to mention that. That I might mean that I really do kick myself.
Yeah,
but look, his game could be ideal for this event.
Just before we go through the honourable mentions, the outsiders we like the look of. We've talked about Rory McIlroy at the top of the betting. We've not spoken about Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, or Jordan Spieth, the other three in that, in inverted commas, big four category. Dustin Johnson was the other one that I quite liked at 8-1, because of his recent form and his USPGA Championship form, and he's playing the best golf in the world right now, isn't he?
Yeah, if it's possible to not play well and finish second, I think he did that in Canada.
Yeah, I think so as well.
He drove me absolutely mad because I did back him from the outset in the end, sort of late bet. Oh, I'm going to back him, you know. He leads after round one. You think any of those other three would have finished that job off without any problem at all? He was like a sort of class horse, just his head wandering around, looking about. And he could have won that about 6 or 7. He just sort of kept
Then I think that's what Dustin Johnson's going to do now. I think he's just going to focus on these major championships. And I don't know if he... do you think he cared? Do you think having lost out in Canada?
Yeah, because he was trying to impress Wayne Gretzky.
He's got the girl now. He does. That's it. He doesn't need any more endorsement from Wayne Gretzky.
No, I just got a slight feeling he's just come off down a little notch or two from that peak at the US Open. Mm. Just enough to put me off.
Do you prefer him to Day and Spieth?
I do, but if I'm ordering them, I'll go McIlroy, DJ, and then I don't really know between Day and Spieth. They're both
I'd be exactly with you.
I would be as well.
I think Day and Spieth will have to drive better this week, won't they, for a start, and then what they've been doing lately. But we know, that those all four of those can win anywhere. It'd be very interesting to see how Henrik Stenson plays after the Open, where he was just sensational, wasn't he, really? And he'll be hitting those three woods down the centre of the fairway, and if he's not got mental letdown, he could figure well.
And what about Mickelson? Do you think it's too much for him to get over that? Would he have liked a bigger gap in between these matches?
Yes, I think he would, wouldn't he? He said not after the event, but surely that must have been to play so well and not win, and then have to go out in a major just over a week later. That's a challenge, isn't it? But he's an outrageous talent, and if he can get off to a good start, there's a lot of things that suit him. And he's won here; he's in amazing form. Yeah, but enough ifs at 22s. He was a lot bigger for the Open. You've got to remember.
Well, both of them were, weren't they? Stenson and Mickelson. So his price perspective with those two, and I mentioned earlier Tillinghast. If you want a course specialist. Or a designer specialist, it's Mickelson, isn't it? Runner-up twice at Bethpage Black. Should have won at Winged Foot back in 2006 when Ogilvy...
Yes, I was on him.
Were you on him that year? Yeah, when Ogilvy just... and Montgomery had a massive chance, didn't he, as well? And made double from the centre of the fairway that year. That was an exciting finish to that major. But Mickelson loves the designer and has played well on all his courses, so...
Yeah.
He'd be an obvious one. But again, like you said, 22-1 having been 50-1 for the Open, and Stenson into 16s having been 40s.
Vijay was the last guy over 40 to win this in 2004, so it's, you know, they've not got a good record in it, the older guys.
Who are those other outsiders you wanted to mention then, Mike?
Well, I mentioned Scott Piercy, who has he's just kind of gone, his price has galloped up after not playing that well in the Open, but until then he was in good form, and Bridgestone he was second, so, and a second before that. And a fifth in Duffner's USPGA just in 2013, Dave. So I think he's overpriced, 125. He's much shorter than that in these last couple of events. And a player that I like, whether he can win, but I was certainly, well, I might be having a little bit of an each way saver on him with seven places. I like that 125s. He's been in very good form, and we know he can play well in big events. Dave Tindall's favourite, Billy Horschel, catches my eye.
150s.
He's a great ball striker, Horschel, and a little bit of controversy at the Open when he put his hat on the wrong way around. I kind of think that might spur him on. I think he's one of those kind of characters.
Yeah, you could be right.
So those two, I may well have to have little each-way bets myself on them, but I don't want to put them up as picks because we've got three already and with seven picks between us already. But yeah, they were particularly, Piercy were close to me. I could see that they can figure this week.
It was on dew stick, wasn't it, as well? I mean, he only put his hat on the wrong way around to stop the rain falling in his face.
Well, it's because of his score when he did it. I mean, people put two and two together and got five, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, and a bit of an irrelevance. But let's hope that he kind of girds his loins or whatever.
Yeah, you're right about his personality.
Yeah, I think he's one of those, isn't he?
Yeah.
I'll show you.
Yeah, I'll show
and
you.
And he needs a bit of focus, I think, because he is a little bit of a character.
And his form's... From that fabulous FedEx year, his form's not been quite the same, has it, subsequently?
No, it hasn't, no.
He'll bounce back soon. Dave Tindall?
On In Play Radio on Sunday, we were discussing, I think we actually put up Stricker at 125s. I've noticed he's now 66s, so been a lot of money for
him. Wow. He's got an amazing amazing major record, hasn't he? When the amount of cuts he's made consecutively is...
Yeah, I mean,
ridiculous.
He was fourth at the Open, and he was second at St Jude before he played in the Scottish Open. So he's got some great form. He's got a good record on Tillinghast tracks as well. He was sixth in the 2009 US Open, I think, which is his best US Open finish. I can't put him up at that, though, now. I think 125s, I thought he was really good each way value at 66s, I think.
He's under, yeah,
we've got him there.
He was all kinds of prices for average events earlier this year, if you remember.
Yeah, yeah.
But that fourth in the Open has somewhat ruined the price for this, I would say.
Okay, let's move on to the side markets. You've mentioned your Keegan Bradley first round leader bet already at 100-1. You'll be having a few quid on that.
Yeah.
What else do you like in the side markets?
Well, I do think Sergio will have a really, really good week. But in my heart of hearts, and in anyone else's hearts of hearts, can you see him winning?
Well, he's short, isn't he, now? 25-1. Sergio Garcia.
I mean, he's got a brilliant record on Tillinghast tracks. You know, he's played really, really well in this event. Top five in the last two majors. But 25-1. I want to find a market where he can win that market. And when I've looked at continental Europe.
Yeah.
But even that's kind of annoying.
He's only 3-1 in that market. Yeah.
I thought it'd be bigger.
There's some good players in there.
Yeah. I just want to, if I back, I do want to get with him on somehow, but I'm just struggling to find the right.
Maybe
right
a top
market.
10 finish for Sergio Garcia. You could easily see him finishing in the top 10.
What's a top five? I mean, top 10.
9-4, top 10.
Yeah, what's top five, given that he's done that in the last two majors?
Top five finish for Sergio Garcia, 11-2.
Yeah, I might be more inclined to play that. I just want to get with him somehow because I do think he'll have a really big week without, obviously, winning again.
Struggled to win, doesn't he?
My bet is in the top 20 market, top 20 finish market. A guy that I've not mentioned, an outsider this week, David Lingmuth, at 11-2, is 125-1, I think, in the outright market. But I'm hoping this bet will cover my stakes for the week. And I've already highlighted the importance of the importance of that form at Firestone. And Lingmuth finished tied for seventh in that event. I think he's much more suited to US courses than he is in either Scotland
Links.
Or England. Yeah, you look at the Links form, missed both his cuts at the Scottish Open and at Troon. But prior to his seventh place finish at Bridgestone, he'd finished a very good 12th at the US Open. Mm. And in both his US Open starts to date, he's played in two US Opens. He's finished inside the top 20 in both of them. In addition to that, he finished tied for 12th at Whistling Straits in the US PGA last season. He's very accurate off the tee. He's shown real quality in some top events. He's got an early start on Thursday. I think he's a really good bet to finish in the top 20 at 11-2.
I like that a lot. David Lingard. He's a player I like, and I think you make a very logical case there. He's much more suited to US golf, despite being European, than he is playing over here.
Yeah, so I'll go with Lingard 11-2. And I did look at his first-round leader price, which is available at 125-1, but he's not one of those that always shows his best early on. Maybe worth a little go, because he's out early. I think he's in the fourth group out on Thursday.
Yeah, Darren Clark and Daniel Berger.
Yeah, so he could win that three ball as well. 6-5 is to win that that three ball.
Just for first round leader bets, would you? He's starting on the first tee. I just crossed my mind that you might want to be with someone who started early on the 10th tee and get off to a really good start, whereas the first seven holes could be a bit difficult. And
that's a good point. Very good point. Yeah, if you can get off to a fast start on number 10.
At the Open, everyone tees off from the first, but they go off two tees in this one. So yeah, that's a good. What's Bradley off? Is he off the...
I think Keegan Bradley
is off the 10th as well.
He's off a 10th, which at 8:20, which is decent. Yeah,
very good.
Happier by the minute.
I might look at either Brant Snedeker or Chris Kirk for that. They're off 10. Kirk's a player that I backed 1,000 times this year, giving up money slightly, but it wouldn't be against him. He's in the first group.
You must be cursing Snedeker though at the moment.
Yeah, he played poorly on Sunday.
You had him, didn't you? You were only betting that event?
Yeah, only betting the event, and let me down with some moderate play, didn't he, really? He wasn't... he was a bit like Johnson.
Yeah, both of them were disappointed on the final.
3-under would have got Snedeker into a playoff, when others are 8 and 9 under, and it was very disappointing.
When you've got those two short par fives as well later on the golf course.
Yeah, absolutely. He played very poor at the end. But to be fair, his driving was very good. So he was on my list, to be fair, for the overall. I'll be keeping an eye on him if he starts well. I just slight concern over his putting, and he's just getting up and down. He was struggling with his up and downs a little bit, I thought. So we'll see.
I think one stat, which is pro Snedeker and pro some of the other sort of iffy ones like Garcia, 14 of the last 17 winners of this had won that season.
Yes.
So it is a pretty good pointer, isn't it? Which doesn't help me with Bradley, but...
Well, it doesn't help me with either of my two picks either, so thank you for bringing that up.
That doesn't help anyone, does it?
It doesn't help
Dufter.
Yes. Yeah, Dufter.
Dufter and Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, McIlroy, he must go well.
Let's recap the selections then for the US PGA Championship. Remember, 7 places on offer here with William Hill, 5th of the odds, and Dustin Johnson 8-1. And it's worth mentioning as well, we are recording this on Tuesday. As always, we tend to get push-outs on a Wednesday from William Hill, so do check the market Wednesday morning.
I think they'll be less spectacular than some years because of the 7 places, as we said, at the Open, but... Nevertheless, on Wednesday at the Open, there were push-outs again, weren't there? So
I think you'll get more push-outs than you will major cuts, in the prices on Wednesday.
For sure.
Mike, your three picks?
My picks all a point each way. Justin Rose at 33s, Ricky Fowler at 33s, Jason Duffner at 80s. I wish it was 100s, but there you go.
I'm going with Gary Woodland, point each way, 100-1. Point each way on Kevin Chappell at 100-1. And I'm going to just try and cover that with a point win top 20, David Lingmuth at 11-2.
Yeah, I'll go Rory McIlroy, 3 points win. Half a point each way, Keegan Bradley in the outrights at 125. Half a point on Bradley again for first round leader at 100s. And I will play Sergio for a top five at 11-2, 1 point to cover.
Very good. Thank you for listening, folks. Remember, you can follow us all on Twitter, at dkellner, at mgrenham, at Dave Tindall Golf. Do check us out at audioboom.com by typing in William Hill as well.
And the player we don't want to win?
Oh, of course.
I know you were going to come on to that.
Well, obviously, I was going to come on to that. Yeah, I was just fooling you. I was going to come on to that.
Tough one, that, isn't it?
It is a tough one.
You know, kind of Rory, but nowadays, I'm glad one of us are picking.
Yeah, I'm kind of like Rory McIlroy as well, because I think if...
Very close for me.
Very close for me as well, McIlroy. Mm. Maybe one man that I've not mentioned at all, Charles Schwartzel, was on my mind at 50-1. Just that club change kind of puts me off him.
Yeah,
he's playing well.
So that's quite an interesting market, the top South your top side. Well, there's South African players that can play well here. Oosthuizen was on my mind. He plays well off the tee, but I just can't get away from the fact that he's never won in America, has he? Rather amazingly, Oosthuizen. Is that right?
Yes, it is right, isn't it?
Yeah. Brandon Grace, he's gone out in price significantly, hasn't he? You know, he's a lot shorter.
20s for the Open, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So, and he's played well in US majors in the last couple of years. So those three South Africans, Schwarzel included, were be interesting to see who fares best of those.
I think I'm McIlroy. I'd have to be if I'm just picking for my own men. Player I don't want to win, I'd be McIlroy.
I'm going to say Martin Keimer then, because I've backed him a few times lately. I couldn't do with him winning and not being on.
Yep, fair enough.
I would probably go Snedek. I've not mentioned him much, but Mike did just then. He was... I think this time yesterday I was going to back him, but I've gone off him a bit.
What's put you off him, Dave? Because I was pretty close to him on Sunday night. I was thinking,
yeah,
he's just about playing well enough, and this might make him a better price for.
Maybe that final round in Canada just made put me off a little bit.
Yeah, I was the same. The last few holes just let enough doubt in my mind to let him go at what price is he? 66?
50.
50.
Yeah.
He's not 60... convinced on a Sunday in a major, has he?
No, he hasn't. Absolutely.
Yeah,
not. It's a very, very fair call.
A bit of scar tissue, hasn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't finished well on Sundays, has he, in majors? So, yeah, I'll be watching him anyway, yeah.
I'll wrap it now. I was going to come on to that.
Of course you were.
8-1 Dustin Johnson, top of the betting. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast. Do follow us all on Twitter. Check this podcast out at audioboom.com. And on iTunes as well. And we'll be back with a debrief next week. USPGA Championship. Get your bets on here with William Hill. Betting 50 odds first 7 places this week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.